amazing Sunday when you get to hear Scripture sung and read. But the New Testament passage today is John 12, 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany to the home of Lazarus, whom he had just raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of costly perfume made out of pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one that was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he kept the common purse, and he used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always will have the poor with you, but you do not always and will not always have me." When the great crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom they had heard had been raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I've been thinking about the sense of smell this week. And I know that it's one of the most overlooked, unappreciated senses until it's affected. People who lose their sense of smell also lose their desire to eat. And when you do not eat, it affects the body in so many bad ways. Smell is our first response in danger. I mean, we smell smoke before we see flames. We might smell gas and know there's a leak. If we smell food and it's off, we know it is not safe to eat. Smell can affect the quality of life, and smell is neurologically linked in our brain with emotions. And smell has power. Walt Disney was one of the first ones to figure out that it had power to sell things. When he built Disneyland, he built a ventilation system that put the smells of the food out in the street. One of the first. So if you passed the bakery, it would smell like baked goods. If you passed a grill, it would smell like hamburgers, because he knew that if people smelled something, they'd want to eat it. Power has emotional power. I mean, smell does. When I moved away from California, I would come home and there were scents that would just knock me back. One of them was the smell of eucalyptus and those little pods that fall and they're so strong, or the smell of cable car brakes. I mean, you don't smell it anywhere. I'd smell it, my heart would pitter-pat. But there's also smells that kind of have that mixed emotion. I have a friend who grew up poor in New Orleans and had to eat government subsidies. They had a lot of big chunks of cheddar cheese. Her sister loves cheddar cheese because she had it, but my friend Michelle hates it because when she smells it, it reminds her of poverty and how hard it was. I know that for me, after my father died, I'd go in the basement of our house and I'd look at a terry cloth robe. It was blue that was hung up. It was his. I think it was hung up to give it away. And I would go to that terry cloth robe and I'd put my face in it and just smell it because it smelled like my father. And I grieved when the smell finally went away. smell is powerful. And I've been playing and thinking about the image of smell this week. I was kind of wondering, what does love smell like? What does joy smell like? Does it smell like a gardenia on a strong day? Or I wonder, Riley, if it smells like some flowers in Hawaii that you smell and you are home again. I wonder if it smells like an ocean breeze. Does love smell like spaghetti sauce or soup cooked on the back of the stove in a house you grew up in or walked into? I wonder what God's love smells like. Does it have a smell? Does it smell like a church you were a part of? Maybe a little dusty, maybe a little old, but it was a place you were loved or welcomed? I mean, does it smell like baked chicken and garlic green beans on a community meal night? Does it smell like bread just pulled off the loaf, dipped in wine right before you eat it in the communion meal? The power of smell wafts through the story today. For Martha and Mary, the story of God smells like their brother Lazarus, who had just been raised from the dead, laying in a tomb for 4 days. He had on clean clothes, and I bet, though, still the scent of myrrh that anointed him still clung around him a bit. And maybe he smelled a bit still like dust and dirt because he had laid in the ground for 4 days. I wonder if love smelled like the feast that was about to happen. I mean, I think of Martha. She wanted to thank Jesus, and how did she show her love to people? She did it with the work of her hands. She decides to cook this feast for her brother and for Jesus. It's a meal of thanksgiving and love. She didn't have any words good enough to say, "This is amazing." But maybe the lentil stew with its rich, spicy aroma swirling around the room will meet Jesus' nose and let him know that he's loved, that he's thanked, that he's thanked. But you know, it's a lousy time to throw a dinner party. I mean, to draw the attention of the neighbors with amazing scents enticing you from her windows, oh, it's not a good time to do it. One, because Passover is just 6 days away and she has a lot of cooking to do. And also, it's not really good to draw attention to the house when there are plans to be made to get rid of Jesus and Lazarus. Now, you heard this story last week. Right before we enter today, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That brother of Martha and Mary was literally dead. And upon hearing that he's been raised, the Pharisees and the chief priests really kind of go on the plan as we have got to get rid of Jesus. And it's so dangerous that Jesus no longer walks out openly. He's on a little edge of a nothing town right next to the wilderness. And the chief priests decide it's not just enough to kill Jesus, they're going to kill Lazarus too, because people are starting to follow after him. I wonder if you could smell the fear in those Pharisees and disciples as they were kind of planning his death. It would have been prudent for the disciples and Mary and Martha to keep a low profile, to stay in hiding. But when we enter the story, they are throwing a dinner party. One group sends out dinner invitations, the other one sends out death threats. I mean, there was Lazarus, joined by Jesus and an odd assortment of disciples. We don't really know. We know Judas is there. And Martha is serving, and Mary was probably in the house somewhere. And I expect the table is filled enough. This family of three was having a dinner to say thank you to Jesus for the amazing gift of life that he had given Lazarus. I mean, what kind of people, though, throw a party during unsafe times? I don't think they were in denial about how dangerous it was. They weren't having a party to pretend it wasn't dangerous, that the hard times were over. They just didn't give any room to fear. They were filled with thankfulness for the miracle, full of love for Jesus, who had brought them the life of their brother back, who had given them new life, who had showed them a new way to live. It's like it says in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. They didn't let their fear for the future overpower them. They lived to serve and love Jesus right in that moment. I wonder what it looks like and what it smells like to live in joy in the midst of fear, of knowing that there are some real scary moments out there and reality and experiences all around us, but we keep on moving. We don't hide in a dark, dusty place. It's not the denying the reality that they're there and that things do make us fearful, but it's not letting them have control of our minds and our hearts. I think of the story that was going out sometime around Christmas about the young boy who had a very strong type of cancer, and they said he was going to die within a week. The parents were hoping he would make it till Christmas, I think it was. So they decide to do all his major holidays during 1 week. So they throw him a birthday party with presents, and you can smell the way that little wax melts down on a birthday cake, and everyone sang to him. And then a couple days later, they had 4th of July. The city starts getting in it. There was the high school band. There was the float. And there was the sound and the smell of firecrackers going off. And then in a couple of days later, they celebrated Christmas for the boy. And church people came and non-believers came and they sang Christmas carols and they had lights. And I think there was a smell of hot chocolate and cookies in that house and presents being unwrapped. The boy still died. But in that time, they had a celebration for him. It's about living in hope and love and trusting that God's love is louder and stronger than any no. It's as a celebrating this amazing, crazy act of Lazarus being brought back to life, even though no one really understood what happened. It's about knowing that darkness and evil is there, but can never overcome the light. Would have been fine just to end the story there. It's good enough. I mean, I can imagine the scene. We have Lazarus and Jesus and the other people reclining around the table. Martha is serving most of the food. Maybe Mary brings an item or two out, but that's just kind of her way. It's Martha who's checking on everyone, who scoops one more bit of lentil stew on a plate, who brings out the fresh bread with a steaming smell coming off of it. There's laughter and contentment that comes with a well-cooked meal. But then Mary slips out of the room again. It's nothing new. And then Mary comes into the room quietly and uncorks the jar and begins to pour pure nard on Jesus' feet. And no one seemed to notice her until that sweet smell began to fill the room, that oil that she poured on his feet. And it wasn't a planned event. Mary didn't figure out beforehand of doing this. There was something about Jesus being there that infused and filled her with love and thankfulness, and she broke into this extravagant act of love. I mean, this oil was of great worth, and they were not a wealthy family. That oil would have cost enough to maybe feed a family for a year and then some. And nard was used as perfume. It was used of anointing of kings. It was used to prepare a body for a funeral. That nard could have been used to anoint the head of a king, not the wandering feet of a rabbi. It was an act of luxurious care and extravagant love filled with devotion and gratitude. Extravagant is defined as strange, curious, lacking in moderation and restraint. Well, that describes Mary's actions. In that day, it would have been slaves that washed a guest's feet, and Mary washes them herself. They may have put one drop of oil on the feet as a bit of refreshment, but she pours it all on him. They would have used a towel to dry his feet, and Mary, she uses her hair. This is certainly strange and curious and lacking in moderation and restraint. It's over the top. Mary took the most precious thing she had and spent it all on Jesus, and she didn't calculate the cost. And Jesus is kind of saying, this is just fine. It's an act that he takes on. And when Judas smells that perfume, he gets a different scent from it. He detects sense of waste and maybe the scent of greed. He said he was concerned for the poor, but we know that is not true. He was worried about his own money. I wonder if greed does have a scent. Did he smell the fine foods that he'd be eating one day? Did he smell the clean places he expected to live with maybe that money from the betrayal and that extra 300 denarii? Could he blow out of his nose that dusty smell of poverty and the sour smell of the sick and breathe in wealth? Jesus says to him, leave Mary alone. She has done the right thing. She brought this to me so I could keep it, use it on the day of my burial. You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me. Such a task it is for us to try to live in the moment. Jesus is saying Mary has done the right thing. It isn't the financially best use of funds, but the love and the act was right. I wonder, though, if Jesus, when he smelled that nard, did he also smell love, but maybe a bit of fear? Maybe he knew that his death was coming soon, and that oil could have been used in his grave, that it would have been soon rubbed on his cold skin. I wonder if there was that mixture of love and fear for him. I wonder if for the rest of her life, Mary felt grief and gratitude for the extravagant act that she did this day. Grief that it was foreshadowing his death, and gratitude that God had used her for part of God's plan. What would it look like if we lived our life extravagantly and celebrating? What would it look like that our acts were one of thanksgiving? What would it smell like? There's an old dusty church in New York State. I may have told you about this. that didn't have a lot of people in it, but had beautiful stained glass windows, Tiffany. And that church looked at their windows and looked at their empty church, and they sold the Tiffany windows. And they spent all the money on mission. Some people said they were fools, but they realized they did the exact right thing. I wonder what this church would smell like in love and thanksgiving. Would it smell like people that were dressed well like me and someone sitting next to you that maybe didn't smell so grand? Would it smell like meals being cooked all over this place in our new oven? Would it smell like pots burning because we don't know how to do it? And smell like dishes being washed? I wonder if it smells like the street, like buses and people, because we let people in. I wonder if it does smell like communion, a little bread mixed with wine that says, you are forgiven, you are loved, you are worthy. May we be a church that has the courage to throw a party of thanksgiving and joy, devotion and gratitude, even when days look dark, because we trust and are loved by God. May we live in the smell of love, forgiveness, and welcome home. Amen.